Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Let me remind you, the dial-in number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call right through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions, comments, your dialogue and discussion with us. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the socialistic system and socialism in America today, and the last piece of the puzzle that the socialist agenda needs to put in place is the confiscation of weapons, taking away our right to keep and bear arms. The First Amendment says, ladies and gentlemen, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that Second Amendment, listen very carefully, the Second Amendment is the key that controls the balance of the amendments and the 27 amendments in our Bill of Rights. Without that Second Amendment, we the people are toothless, if you will. We are defenseless. There's nothing that we can do to protect ourselves. And it was very, very clear with our founding fathers that said that, for example, George Washington, firearms are second only to the constitutional importance that the people may have liberty teeth. And it is those liberty teeth that were found in the Second Amendment. In fact, it was George Mason that said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave the people. And that's exactly what will need to be put in place for the socialistic socialism agenda to be put in place in the United States of America. And perhaps you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, and you're wondering, why is a preacher concerned about the Second Amendment rights? Why is it that we're concerned about socialism? What is it that we ought to do as Christians? We ought to, ladies and gentlemen, be salt and light. Salt is a preservative in a decaying society, and light is a illumination for a darkened world. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, that we as Christians, ye are the salt of the earth, ye are the light of the world. And it is we, the people, that have the responsibility to be the one that tells those in charge in governance as to what we, the people, want, and they cannot do beyond that. But they're doing that today, ladies and gentlemen. We're finding that the case. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a throwback to the 60s and what took place back in the 60s. And that which took place then was the seed that was sown that is now blossoming and producing fruit that is part of the tearing down of our society, the warp and the woof of society as we know it today. It was in the 60s where the potheads that are now in charge of most of the governmental bodies in America, it was the 60s where we took the Bible away from the classrooms. It was in the 60s where we took prayer out of the classrooms and left our kids growing up with no fundamental foundation in the written, revealed Word of God. When it comes to the mass murders today, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the gun that pulls the trigger. It's that mind behind that trigger that pulls that trigger. And may I say again, as I've said so often on this broadcast, that most of what we find today is the problem with the mass shootings. We'll get to that in a moment with further detail. But the problem with that is not the gun. The guns do not produce the violence. It is the finger behind that trigger that does it, and it's as a result of no morals, no ethics, no values, no church, no spirituality, no Bible, no prayer, no dependence upon God. For all of these decades now that we've had that, when Bible was banned in the classroom, prayer was taken out of the classroom. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. We are in the age of deception and lying and manipulating words, using them to suit our agenda. And this is exactly what is going on. Let me turn the radio.
That's exactly what's happening.
Oh, yes, exactly what's happening now. In my country, when they tried to disarm the citizens, there was lawlessness and hatred of the police and in discipline, which shooting and, you know, not mass murder, but, you know, lawlessness with murder and violence all over. And then they said the answer to it is to disarm the nation, to take away guns and so on. And people knew that they would not be able to disarm the criminals, so it would be just the law-abiding. And what has happened in America, I continue to have a feeling that the only way that the liberals can attack the Second Amendment in America is is when they're going to mass murder. I am fully convinced that there's an agenda. There is there are those who are behind promoting the mass murder in order. We see enough to be convinced that this is what in order to give them the platform to tackle the Second Amendment. There are those who behind the scene have been promoting in my country where it was promoting violence and murder and so on in the country. Mass murder wasn't in yet. But no, for America, it's mass murder. When the mass murder is the people don't even get to mourn the loss of their loved one before the political agenda come up and the people begin to clamor the attack on the Second Amendment. So it's really terrific. It's satanic what's going on.
And you're exactly right. Yes, you touched on exactly what I wanted to say. Yes. It is a demonic agenda. That demonic agenda is that where it is taking place in the minds and the hearts of those pulling the triggers. It's the demonic agenda that's causing this to take place across America, but it's fulfilling that demonic agenda that is behind the socialist agenda for the overthrow of the United States of America. And part and parcel of that, the final piece of that puzzle, as I said a moment ago, is taking the right to keep and bear arms away from the citizens. Let me ask you a question before we let you go today. Thank you for your call, but let me ask you a question. In your country, when they took away the guns, did thieves and robbers and murderers still have guns?
Oh, yes. they didn't stop anything. Continued worse than ever. So the agenda of the left is to promote lawlessness and indiscipline and chaos in the society. And now we have it is not only the socialist communists who are working to control the population to take away our freedom, but is also the Islamic who believe that when develop enough chaos in the society, then their Messiah, who they're looking for, expecting to come, will come on the scene when enough havoc has been created. So
absolutely.
Yes.
Well, listen, I really appreciate your call. You're a compliment to the broadcast and what we're saying. And I pray that the people are listening up and understanding that as you speak, you're speaking from experience and what you found in your country. And we're finding that being spawned today. Thank you so much for your call. And God bless you today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the serious potential for every America is that of the confiscation of about 300 million firearms in America today. 300 million firearms in the hands of free American citizens. So just how do the Democrats, socialists, and globalists intend to cancel our Second Amendment rights? How do they intend to do so today? Ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist plan, the socialist plan, the Democrats' plan must be to divide Americans socially, and we're finding that. We find the agenda, and it's a Marxist agenda. It's the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, right out of Marx's handbook, if you will. And that is the rich against the poor and the poor against the rich, the white against the blacks against the white, the atheist against the Christians opposing what the atheists are doing. It is the division, the dividing of the socialist, the dividing of the social governance in America. It's the dividing of America socially. They must control our medical care. They must control our educational institutions. But, ladies and gentlemen, to be ultimately successful with putting in a destructive socialist program and the destruction of a constitutional republic, they must control the guns and take them out of the hands of law-abiding citizens in the great nation of the United States of America. Today, ladies and gentlemen, guns are blamed for every murder. Guns are blamed for all of the shootings. Guns are blamed for the mass killings in our nation. But, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to the most strict controlled gun districts in America. You can go to L.A., D.C., Chicago, Baltimore, all of these places that are have such strict gun control laws, and you find the largest number of killings every week, week in and week out, you find the largest number of killings. So if banning the guns, if gun control can prevent murders, why in the world do we find the exorbitant number of murders, the great number that's taking place in those areas where are gun-free zones and or where guns are controlled. Ladies and gentlemen, why is it that we find any of the mass shootings will take place in what's called gun-free zones, schools and churches and shopping centers and places just as in El Paso, where it was in a Walmart, where it was a sign that says a gun-free zone? Can you imagine in any one of those mass shootings where a shooter walks in, if somebody in the crowd had a legal weapon and could fire back, could you imagine the number of lives that could have been saved as a result of that? But today, guns are banned, and in many of the cities, many of the communities, they are being, if you please, having the Second Amendment rights taken away based on legislation, rules, and regulations. But guns today are blamed for the murders and the shootings. But let's just look at some statistics, ladies and gentlemen. America has about 327 million people. They have about 300 million guns. About 40,000 people die each year by guns. Of that total number, we have, listen to these stats, ladies and gentlemen. Out of the 40,000 that die each year from guns, weapons being used, 29,250 suicides with guns. 29,200, now that's a horrible number. But it's self-inflicted gun deaths that's added into the total. When these rancorous liberals, when these socialist wannabes will tout gun deaths, they will give you the total number of 40,000. Look at 40,000 people being slain with guns every year. They fail to break it down and tell you that 29,250 of those are of self-inflicted wounds by suicide. 1,612 are legal law enforcement shootings, i.e., it's where cops are killing bad guys. 1,612 out of the 40,000, then the 29,250 suicides, 1,612 legal law enforcement shootings by police officers, 274 negligent discharge of weapons by people who do not know how to handle a weapon. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, out of the touted, bloated number that's being quoted by the socialists, the Democrats that are wanting to control weapons by taking away, by infringing upon our Second Amendment right, it's the only amendment that says and shall not be infringed upon. And yet they are wanting to infringe upon it by making a law and having the law passed. And then, ladies and gentlemen, all you need to do is pass the law. Once it is passed, then you just simply need to tweak it by rules and regulations. And that is done every day with the laws in America. But 274 of them are negligent discharge, but 8,863 actual murders out of 327 million people in America. That's about 0.001%. You hear that number? A far greater number of people die every year in automobile crashes. A greater number die by malpractice at the hands of medical professionals today. A far greater number die every year by legal murder by way of abortion. And yet we're legalizing abortion even to the point of birth and then leaving that baby on a table, as the governor of Virginia said, and let it be comfortable until it dies. That's infanticide. And yet we're concerned about 8,863 murders. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not authorizing, and I'm not saying that murder is okay. I'm not trying to brush away the horrific aspects of that by any stretch of the imagination. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen, cities like D.C., Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, L.A. have more shootings than that every year. You hear me? And they have the strictest gun control laws in America. Ladies and gentlemen, 327 million people in America, and yet we have over 20,000 gun control laws, local, state, and federal. Hear me? We have over 20,000 gun control laws already in place in America. I want you to ponder that for a moment. I pause for you to let that soak in. I want to ask you a very profound question. With that number of gun control laws on the books, with local, state, and federal laws, would one more gun control law stop the mass murders? The answer is no. It is a far deeper problem than just the guns. It goes back to homes where there's no Bible, there's no morals, there are no ethics, there are no values, there's no church, there's no prayer, there's no Bible reading, there's no recognition of God, there's no understanding of the Ten Commandments. And ladies and gentlemen, I have done research on the last 40 of the so-called mass shootings. And the thing that is underreported or not reported, not mentioned by the socialist news media, the fake, phony, false news media, rarely is it spoken of even by the law enforcement, and that is the fact that in each of the cases in the last 40, drugs were involved. Drugs were involved. Some illegal drugs and some prescription drugs, but nevertheless, drugs were involved in every one of the last 40 cases of mass murders. Mass murder, by the way, is considered four or more being shot. We have four or more being shot every weekend in all of these cities, in Baltimore and D.C. and Chicago and Detroit and L.A., et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're not touted as mass murders as it is known in the fake media today. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to get us to understand, what I want you to see, is that we have a fundamental problem that throws back to the 60s. Listen, we've always had, since the founding of America, we've already had, always had weapons in the home. We've always had weapons in the hands of citizens. And yet we have not seen this phenomena until the last few decades, in the last few years in particular. And it's because of what was seed that was sown in the 60s that spawned and being hatched today and bringing about this loose, lax, lost living. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that you'll find when there are the Ten Commandments that we find in the Scripture, where we find the adherence to the Word of God, where we find Jesus Christ in the home, where we find a drug-free home, where we find those sons and daughters, those boys and girls that are brought up and trained, that life is precious, that God created us in His image, and we ought to protect life, you'll not find those going out and committing mass murders, as it's called today. But the socialist agenda is to remove your weapon and your opportunity to protect yourself, your homes, and your families. And ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious that that is the case. In fact, I have a sheaf of papers here that says, guns saved these Americans from assault and robbery just in the month of July. Firearms used defensively in about 1 million times just this last year, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And it goes on to give a list of the different ones where their lives were protected, their homes protected, their families protected as a result of legal gun ownership under the Second Amendment right. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, our Bill of Rights does not give us those rights. Our Second Amendment rights, the right to keep and bear arms, were given to us through the Word of God, codified in the Constitution, confirmed by the courts, to be carried out by we the people to protect our lives and our liberties in the United States of America from a tyrannical government, and that's what we see encroaching upon us today. I believe I have a call on the phone. Go over the question and comment, please.
It's good to be on the air with you. A little late in the broadcast. Nonetheless, I'm frustrated, flustered, upset, actually kind of mad at what's going on with the state of Florida and other places with the proposed constitutional amendment in the state of Florida. Of course, Florida has a little craziness going on anyway, because, you know, years back, they passed a pregnant pigs constitutional amendment. It's unconstitutional in the state of Florida to create a pregnant pig. Some lunatic stuff goes on in the state of Florida. But this notion that they can attack our Second Amendment right in the state of Florida and it's going to be okay, it's going to create chaos. It's going to create chaos. And a couple of things are missed, it seems like. Definitively, we're to be a nation, a government of, by, and for the people. The people don't have a lesser right than a government employee when it comes to the Second Amendment. However, under this new construct, somehow or another, this government of, by, and for the people has more authority when it comes to firearms, when it comes to keeping and bearing arms, than the private citizenry. That was never intended under our Constitution. As well, I'm angry because with all the friends and family that I have in law enforcement, if this kind of garbage goes forward, law enforcement will be jeopardized. Here, these folks have raised their right hand, many of them placed their left hand on the Bible and sworn to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And now they're going to be ordered, potentially, ordered to go out and violate individuals' constitutional rights. When that takes place, people are going to get hurt. This is going to be bad. The idea that we're going to take good men and women and turn them into criminals on both sides. You're going to tell a constitutionally sworn officer of the law to go and violate someone's constitutional rights, and then that person on the other end, if they defend themselves, now you have potentially a good person harming another good person because stupid people in the legislature or stupid people, you know, at the ballot box don't realize that they're trampling on God-given constitutional rights.
Greg, listen, let me just touch on something that you spoke of about the potential for banning weapons in the state of Florida. I'm looking at the article. It says, Florida ban on military-style firearms, disqualifications for firearm possessions, Initiative 2020. And it is Initiative 18-03, and it says to be on the ballot for 2020, November 2020. It's a constitutional amendment that I'm reading that amendment before me now. And it says it is stricken the former statements, which is talking about the Second Amendment, and it then enlarges upon that and says this: the people of Florida declare that a well-regulated militia is necessary for the security of the state, and further designate the National Guard or the state of Florida and organized police forces as its militia. The militia, while on active duty, while training on their training facilities, shall possess all types of weaponry and arms required to defend the state. The weapons shall include, but not limited to, the fully automatic weapons, assault weapons, large magazines, weapons holding more than 7 rounds of ammunition, and magazines with capacity of 7 or more rounds. No other person entering in or residing in the state of Florida shall have the right to possess these weapons that fire on an automatic basis. And it goes on and on. Literally, the constitutional amendment will confiscate, if this is passed in 2020 in the state of Florida, it will confiscate every weapon in the hands of the Floridians, the free citizens in our state. It will confiscate every one of them on the basis that the militia is simply the military and the National Guard, and they have the right to keep and bear arms, but the citizens will no longer have the right to keep and bear arms. I could read it. It's a pretty elongated document, and I am frightened to death at what I see taking place, and it's the knee-jerk response. And go back to people like Peter King, the Republican in New York, where he's already signed on to the assault weapons ban. And what is an assault weapon? If it fires more than one bullet at the time, you can call eventually with that assault weapon ban, if it goes into effect, then you can claim that every weapon, i.e. a 45, a 38, or a 380, whatever model you would have, Glock, all of those could be considered assault weapons after the ban goes into place just by tweaking the law.
Listen, that's a point. If you read all the way through the proposition for the state of Florida, they want to redefine assault weapon as
that's
being
right.
a weapon without bolt action, without any reloading mechanism whatsoever. When one is semi-automatic, when you pull the trigger, and then by pulling the trigger, you're discharging another round without having to cock it again. They want to consider that action, what we call semi-automatic, they want to consider that action an assault weapon. That is completely absurd. Now it's dangerous because already we've through legislation many years ago, we've given the ATF at the federal level the ability to define weapons, and of course that's a dangerous thing because when a bureaucratic agency can define terms, we can end up in chaos really, really fast. Nonetheless, under the current federal standard and under the current Second Amendment via the 14th, every citizen in the United States ought to have their rights protected by government, not assaulted by government. And this is setting up literally a clash. Other than the citizens being protected, the citizens will come under the assault of the government. I mean, our governments are instituted among men to secure our rights, and within the Bible, government is there to reward good and punish evil. Well, we're going to take good people and we're going to start calling them evil if this takes place, if this constitutional amendment passes in the state of Florida. The warning cry ought to go out today with the realization that good people, again, good people are going to die because of this, not
yes.
be saved because they're going to die because of this.
In fact, let me just read you an article for our listeners to understand. Jim DeMint, for example, which is a former U.S. senator, Jim DeMint said, it's more symptomatic of a decline of our culture. It's not the guns. I'm not sure any new laws can help in any fashion, end quote. Further, he says, Congress could do more than anything else by setting the better example on how to treat people. They're probably the biggest instigators of hate and racism and violence in the country today. Then he further commented, so they need to look inward and not look at the behavior of the people. Jim DeMint expressed skepticism about red flag laws and how they would be temporary suspension of citizens' people's Second Amendment rights, and said the issue of gun violence remained at the heart of American culture. He goes on to say, more federal laws are very unlikely to help anything, including the red flag laws. 17 states already have them, and we see that they're not working at all. He says they actually give someone who has a grudge against you the ability to send police to your home and take away your weapons and drag you into court before you're found guilty. That is the problem. Greg, let's talk about, we've got about 2 minutes. Let's talk about the red flag laws in the last 2 minutes. Red flag laws, tell our listeners what that connotes and what it means.
Well, the reality is, and you've the articulated point, you can have an individual that comes up with a long-haired tale about you. Maybe they don't like your politics. Maybe they don't like the way you cut your lawn. And they say, you're that crazy lunatic, that young buddy is out waving his firearm and threatening everybody. Next thing you know, you have law enforcement coming in to seize, to confiscate all the weapons. And then that fella, whoever's been accused, then he can go to court to try to recover his constitutional rights. I mean, they literally stand the entire system of justice on its head, where you're having to prove your innocence rather than the courts having to prove your guilt. And this is pre-crime bureau, if you will. They're going to try to determine whether or not you're a potential criminal before you've committed a criminal act. And for Christians out there, be very, very, very aware of this. Your Psychological Association of America, your Psychiatric Association of America, most of those are rabid leftists, okay? And when given the opportunity on mental deficiency, they will call you mentally deficient.
That touches on the reality. We've got about 30 seconds left. Let me wrap it up on this basis. With that red flag law, the Christians will be in the crosshairs of those that want to take away our rights of freedom of speech and religious liberties in the United States of America. Because anyone can place a surreptitious call and say that you're waving a gun. They can come in. You're drawn into court. You can be locked up for 14 days. And then you've got to prove you're innocent rather than proving you're guilty. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issue.
Listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.